Hi, my name is Jennifer Chang. I am here today to talk to you guys about how our how parks have worked with the communities and how they've continued to work with the city and different stakeholders to address safety. I wanted to go back to Sarah's presentation a little bit. She talked a little bit about engineering, and in the National Park Service, many of you know engineering enforcement education. That's usually how we go about addressing safety. However, the most effective is engineering. The least effective is education. However, we in the National Park Service tend to rely a lot on education because of the limitations we have when we deal with engineering and enforcement. In our parks, some of you may or may not know that we have 20%, the National Park Service, take up 20% of our land geographically in the country, and also we have 395 parks. Parks and units. So this makes it one very difficult for us to simply address safety in a way where we can simply say at Grand Canyon put a guardrail around the whole canyon. I don't think that would either one look very good, two be cost effective, three maybe even work, and also the 395 parks that we have, it really serves as an entity with an infrastructure that supports our safety initiatives. And by that, I mean we right now, you know, this whole meeting, this conference is about working with our community, but we already have this community of people who have similar issues, who have addressed it in different ways, who have a lot of experience, and because of that, we take from that best practices, and we're able to share ideas within our agency, which has served as a very big benefit. I'm here to talk about one of our examples, one of our parks, the George Washington Memorial Parkway, here in DC. If you guys have a chance in this conference, please come out and visit. You'll see from this map, it's a little small, unfortunately, but I just wanted to highlight that there it goes through the red line in the middle, that's GW Memorial Parkway, and it goes all the way, you can see, north to south, and it goes through Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, so it's very large. It's a historic roadway that links 20 urban parks and historical sites. And by those, I mean the Mount Vernon Trail, Great Falls Park, CNO Canal, and several others. I didn't even mention all of them. So you can see local visitors and even people from out of town will come by and they'll visit, and they won't even realize that they're on the parkway. So the problem this park identified was that injuries were happening at this park in various locations, but they didn't always know, they meaning our rangers or the staff, didn't always know about them. The reason being is because there were multiple parks, as you saw, and multiple jurisdictions. It goes through D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and a lot of different counties, cities. We have park police, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, there is a lack of communication. You may have experienced in your own communities that sometimes people work, when you develop a program, you just talk to yourselves and not necessarily with everyone else and all the stakeholders involved. There was also no centralized database in which everyone could report the injuries to one place, fatal and non-fatal. So as you can see here, this slide shows that GW Memorial Parkway has the most number of non-fatal injuries in our parks. And I didn't use rates in this chart because I didn't necessarily want to compare these to the other parks, but rather show you that the raw number is very high, that this is a very a huge issue. So what they did to address this is create a task force, a safety task force. And within this, they included the parks that were involved and had specific issues they wanted to address. For example, Great Falls, the George Washington Memorial Parkway, and this is all within what we have a region, which is a national capital region. I didn't mention all of the parks, but I mentioned these because I'll be talking about these a little bit. Then they also involved the U.S. Park Police, and that is their local, that's their law enforcement here. They also involved the county fire department, Fairfax, Montgomery, and also the city. Lastly, they looked at, they involved people who, interest groups, specific interest groups such as the kayakers, which in this case it was called the Potomac Paddlers, and the Bicycle Association. I'll mention this a little bit more later, but as this program expands and as we grow by in time, there are more opportunities for even more partners. And so far, there have been two projects going on, Mount Vernon Trail Safety and the Potomac River Gorge. I'm going to address those here, and I'm going to start with the Mount Vernon Trail. So the Mount Vernon Trail goes along the George Washington Memorial Parkway, and it expands. It is 18 miles long. There are 70,000 to 90,000 trail users per month, and the issue is that there have been reported congestion, traffic congestion, and user conflict, meaning people who are cyclists do run into pedestrians, or pedestrians who are walk in the middle of the road or don't know how to walk on the right, and just etiquette. Collisions, like I just said, that's the result of when that happens, and various other injuries. So some of the outcomes of this task force was that they created four committees: recreational use and management, education and media, design and maintenance, and partnerships. Now I'll talk about each of those. First, I want to talk about recreation use and management. These include they put trail counters on the trails. So you can see here on the left is an example of a trail counter. And they worked with the Virginia Department of Transportation to administer these, to put these in there, and then also track them. There are people, as you can see on the right, people going by. You can see there are lots of different types of people. Same picture, but you're seeing them on different sides. I think it's to show that when you track, it tracks every time a person passes, whether it's going in one direction or coming back the other. Okay, so the next thing is education and media. Trail days in monthly safety outreach events. These are events that the park did with the city, in which they educated the public. And they had this event, I think, a couple times during the summer. And they handed out brochures, they set up a big tent, and the rangers were there to talk. And they talked about the safety and what needed to be done. The design and maintenance, this committee looked at the current signs, and they took an inventory of them. Many of you know we have lots of signs out there. Sometimes they're not very effective. Sometimes they're even contradictory. So they took inventory of them, and they proposed a sign plan to better concentrate their efforts. They also educated people by putting out these are kind of billboard-looking things, educating people about the speed limit, which is 15 miles an hour on the trail, how to tell people when you're passing them verbally, and to basically tell them, don't block the trail. These are pledge cards. We have a lot of different events during the summer in which people will cycle, and they'll hand out little small cards about the size of half your hand, and they'll tell them, pay attention to this, remember this, and people will take it home in their stickers. Another community, the last one of the four, is with partnering. So this was really important because the Mount Vernon Safety Group partnered with the city, partnered with Arlington County, partnered with Alexandria City, and with the Washington Bicycle Association and the U.S. Park Police to educate. And they had a junior program in which you can see here, they talked to juniors. It's the Alexandria Junior Bike Ambassadors, and this actually started, the Bike Ambassadors program started in Chicago, and this is something that they adopted from them. In this program, the junior ambassadors went out to the trails and educated people, handed out flyers, and at the same time, what was very beneficial to them, to the junior bike ambassadors, they found later was that they went home and they told all their friends. And so it wasn't just a one-time thing. And also, this was an educational experience for them. And when they went home, now it became something that their friends needed to do. It became something that they told their family to do. And so it was a great partnership. The second program, after they've done this, the Mount Vernon Trail started in 2007, and they are starting to struggle with some funding right now. So certain programs have been cut, such as the Bike Ambassador program, but they're working on bringing that back. Because there was so much success in that, they've now gone and addressed a second issue, which is here at the Potomac River Gorge. There are, as you can see, it's beautiful, but similar to Sequoia Kings, it's a little bit more dangerous than what some of our visitors may think or perceive. So going back to the map, I want to show you what were the Great Falls Park is, where is a park that sort of led this group. And it's addressing the Potomac River Gorge, which is the area between all the way from the top, Maryland, and into D.C. You'll see the water area goes into half the Potomac all the way down, halfway through the map. They had a lot of drownings, and they were also, and I think it was probably on average a few a year, which was pretty significant. And there's also a law which violates users. It says that people, visitors, are not allowed to swim in the Potomac River, in the Potomac River Gorge. Unfortunately, either our visitors aren't aware of this, or they'll go in, it's hot, they'll wade, and so they recognize that that's an issue. There's also dangerous river currents there. People go in whitewater raft all the time, and there are class 1 through 5, which if any of you guys are kayakers, you'll know that 6 is the highest, and so therefore class 5, which is a falls, is very dangerous. At Great Falls Park, the number of fatalities are at the very top of the list in terms of causes of fatal injuries. And you'll see that this is why this is an issue they definitely wanted to address. So what did they do? They worked together to build a safer park. And there was one incident in which we had a snowstorm or a flood. I'm sorry, it wasn't a snowstorm. It was, I think, a flood. And as a result, there was a lot of debris and trees fell, and they had to close off a section at the park, which was very close to the falls. Well, what this meant is that kayakers couldn't get in at the entrance they usually do, and so the local kayakers were really, really frustrated, and they called the park, and they had a big meeting, and they vented their it was basically a venting session. But from that venting session, it came a positive outcome because the staff was able to, one, communicate why they closed the section, why they closed the park, and that they were working on cleaning it. And then they, as a result, the two of them, it was the Potomac Paddlers, and the Potomac Paddlers worked together with the park staff to address this and to share the burden of responsibilities, basically. And that's where, and that's how this program started. And now the Potomac Paddlers is something that started this year, and this was the pilot year. And we have volunteers who are very experienced kayakers who will go along the river in the gorge a few hours a day and just swim around. They have their gear, they are trained, and they've gone through a week of training. And they have a phone, they have all the emergency contacts. They're not law enforcement people, they cannot enforce laws, but they can tell people, they can educate them. And they're out there, and because they're on the river, they're also able to find areas that normally a ranger from on land can't get to. And they've identified specific hot spots in which people have been educated by the Potomac Paddlers, and people, I think, I'm going to assume that because of that education, they prevented certain injuries. So that's really great. They've been tracking how many people they've talked to. They've been tracking the effect of that, and it's been a very positive relationship. Again, similar to the Bicycle Junior Ambassadors Program and all of that, working with the community, the result is not just that they worked with them and not just that they can help prevent injuries, but also because now they also have a personal investment in this, and they are now walking safety ambassadors. So that's really great. The next thing they're looking at is a River Rover program. Again, very similar to Sequoia Kings. This is, again, going back to our 395 parks and being able to share ideas. So we're really excited about that. Lastly, I want to mention a collaboration that we have with one more of our, I guess, stakeholders, or a program that our program has started. And that is something Gabrielle will be talking a little bit more about. And we have student interns that have worked at each of these parks. And the interns have provided a very important role, or they have played an important role, because they've provided the data and the science and kind of helped with the structure and figuring out how to address some of these programs in the most effective, efficient, successful way. We've also had a study in 2009 with the Uniform Services, University of Health Services, and we encourage other collaborations within the community. This is a picture of one of our interns in 2010 with our ranger. And I'd like to thank everyone who was a part of this presentation, the parks, and our staff in DC. Thank you.